This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez, Tan Chung Han, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. We look at G20. It's been on our lips all morning long, because it's been recently concluded. And in some respects, shows a clear divide between the US and the rest of the grouping. So it's a G19 plus, it said. What are the main takeaways from the summit, Brian?
I think for, and especially for us as Malaysia, I think the key relevance is really all about trade. Trade. Now, the leaders of, they vowed to fight protectionism and secure fair trade. But interestingly enough, while fighting against protectionism and unfair practices, so it's not a blanket, let's have open free trade. It's a qualified free trade, which marks a very different stance from previous G20 summits.
Because on free trade, there's been quite a bit of pushback. I mean, Donald Trump, the leader of America, is seen as, in fact, an anti-globalizer against China, you know, run by a single party, the Communist Party of China, being the biggest champions of free trade. Han, I mean, the paradox is stunning and doesn't cease to be.
Yeah, and I draw upon comments from Stephen Innes from our Market Watch segment after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin, whereby he said, you know, as opposed to the U.S. trying to use this broad brush when it comes to their trade, their foreign trade policy, now they're seeking to, you know, get trade deals with individual companies, very much like what Brexit is trying to do, you know, in trying to deal with the aftermath of that referendum, right? So you have that kind of instance going on at this G20 summit. And it's also important to note that the statement from this G20 or G19 plus the US, you know, refers to the use of trade defense instruments, you know, which symbolizes that there is, you know, still the prospects of tariffs being imposed on, you know, certain trade deals between certain countries here, right?
Yeah, so one of the things, Han, with that is, which worries me, of course, is little countries like Malaysia. So if we are seen to be running trade surpluses with the U.S., which we do, I think we have a $6 billion U.S. trade surplus, will we be a target for sanctions?
I believe we've already been mentioned by Donald Trump, haven't we, Tan?
Yeah, well, yes, we have. But nevertheless, when you look at, say, our latest export figures or latest external trade figures that came out on Friday after our show. Now, this data is for May 2017. Once again, we are seeing that double-digit on-year growth that we have witnessed for the first 4 months of this year as well. So when we consider our major trade partners here, you know, China, the EU, the US as well, and all looks to be, well, at least the demand for Malaysian products still very much resilient, as evidenced by our export numbers.
And Brian, also, man, there's a question of steel, I think, that's emerged in the discussions, and the accusation that China's been, and I thought very well justified accusation that China's been dumping steel globally.
In fact, when going into the summit itself, the EU had steeled itself ready for US sanctions. The world is actually awash with steel right now. It's not just China, it's the EU as well. And I think that story has still something to play moving forward.
Also in the news, we take a look at housing, and because housing is on the lips of many Malaysians, and the question there, of course, is affordability.
So here's a very interesting scheme that is a private sector initiative that has just been endorsed by the Finance Ministry and the Domestic Trade Cooperatives and Consumerism Ministry, which is thrown its weight behind this company, SKPM, Secretariat Community Prefer Malaysia, and PROSMA. So what they intend to do is basically provide a rent-to-own scheme where they would acquire housing on block and then rent them to individuals over a period of 30 years, whereby at the end of the 30 years, they would own these homes. But the interesting thing about this is the following. There isn't a component where, like a Prima One scheme, where a percentage of their monthly rental goes towards a fund. Here, you actually pay 10% upfront, which you basically can get from your EPF or pay on an installment basis, and then you pay normal rent. Now, who will really benefit from something like this? Really, the mass numbers of people now who are finding difficulty to get a home loan Because the premise of this scheme is you don't need to get end financing yourself. The scheme provider provides it.
Yeah, which is interesting when you compare it against the Prima rent to own scheme. So, you know, under that other scheme, the RTO scheme, you can rent these properties under Prima for up to 10 years, as opposed to under Prosma or SKPM, you can rent it up for 30 years. So, you know, I guess those of you who are listening right now who have got household incomes of 5,000 ringgit to, I believe, up to 10,000 ringgit.
Yep,
yeah,
right.
That's the ceiling price right there. You know, it's also interesting to know how they, you know, how they define affordable housing under this scheme. It's up to 500,000 ringgit, well, between 300,000 ringgit to 500,000 ringgit, and it's got to be no smaller than 900 square feet. So, you know, once again, continuing with this theme of the unaffordability of homes here in Malaysia, it's a very big problem. You know, Bank Negara has addressed it as well. Many stakeholders have done so as well. But it's interesting to note that there are initiatives like this being taken up by the private sector to really try and meet this need.
Yes, when there's private sector, there's always profit. So if you really study this scheme, what they're essentially doing is setting up a large property management company. It's a great business opportunity. If you look at the numbers, for example, in the UK, and the statistics are very similar to Malaysia in terms of the target audience. So it's 25 to 35-year-olds. One, according to The Guardian, Frank Knight reckons that by 2021, one in four households in the UK would rent. So that is the sort of numbers that we're looking at in Malaysia.
No, when it comes to the valuation of these properties, because people are buying, they're putting down money, where are these homes going to be located and who's actually valuing them? I think it's very interesting because the resale value of such a property and also the question of whether the people entering the scheme can actually sell their properties in this period, right, 30 years or whatever, an upgrade. I mean, all that, are those details worked out at all?
I think what they plan to do is buy properties en bloc from developers and then rent them out to individuals. So logically, it would seem that you would want to spread your risk around. The first project is actually Manjung in Perak, but they said that basically they would do it across Malaysia. However, it's interesting to note they're not building the homes themselves. So there's actually, it's not the cheapest solution at all. They're buying on block from property developers.
And also the question, I guess, of, you know, strata. I mean, do they get ownership only at the end of the 30
years?
Yeah,
well, see, this is rent to own, though. Right. So it's not necessarily the idea of trying to realize the gains that's locked up in your property, right? You know, this is targeted for genuine home buyers who need a roof over their heads, you know, who perhaps may not be able to get the kind of end financing that the banks, will afford, or, you know, don't even have the funds for that 10% down payment. Actually, hold on, let me correct myself. They do have to put a 10% down payment, right?
Yes, but okay. They can get it from EPF and it can be an installment basis.
Right. Okay. We'll be back after the news is coming up, of course, and then we'll have the opening numbers of the stock market and more talk and more analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.